You're listening to the Assistants Together podcast. I'm Henrietta Barker. I'm a multi-sector recruiter. I'm based in London. And this podcast is all about speaking to industry leaders and executive assistants about their careers, about what's important to them at the moment, and how things are changing. A quick notice before we start this week. I wanted to let you know, if you listened to last week, actually, you will know that I was making an announcement about who I was interviewing live at the PA show on the 8th of March at the Excel Centre in London. And I am so delighted to announce that I'm going to be interviewing Paula Harding. I'm sure that so many of you will know her. Paula is an incredible executive assistant. She's an advisory board member for the PA show. She is a true advocate for the assistant profession and an incredible example of someone who's chosen to consciously create her career and opportunities. I know it's going to be a fantastic conversation and I can't wait to share it with you. If you're going to be there, please do come and see us. Deborah Coleman, the host of Have a Seat podcast and executive assistant extraordinaire working in education, is my guest this week. She is also one of the founding members of NABAP, the National Association for Black Administrative Professionals. And Deborah invited me to be on her podcast, which was actually quite terrifying. Being on one side of the table, so to speak, and asking the questions is one thing, but having someone ask me questions, I mean, it was about work, it wasn't about my personal life, but was not as comfortable. However, it was so lovely to talk to her. You can listen to that conversation on her podcast called Have a Seat. I'll put all the information in the show notes so that you can go directly if you want to hear me talking about careers, hiring, interviewing, all that good stuff. But Deborah and I had such a great conversation, I think, this week, because Deborah's built such a successful career as an executive assistant. And what I really wanted to find out was what it was like for her when she started to branch out, when she launched her podcast, when she took risks to actually take her passions and interests to the next level. And that's something that I find incredibly interesting. And she was generous enough to share with me and you her experiences about doing that, and also about how the landscape is at the moment, how her role has changed, how she has had to make adjustments in her life in order to be able to move forward after the pandemic and create new opportunities for herself too. So I hope you enjoy today's episode. I've got some questions for you.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it.
I really want to ask you, firstly, about launching the podcast. I think because I'm really nosy.
Yeah.
And
you and me both, sister. Done. Let's do it.
That's why we're getting on so well, Deborah. It's like, and tell me another thing. So how did it start? Tell me the process. What happened? Where you thought, I'm
going to
do that.
Right. Well, I was a part of another podcast briefly with two other ladies. So it was three of us, and we were called the Admin Allies, and we were going to just talk about the EA profession, or the AAEA profession, that lasted for a little while. And then we just sort of, like, you know, mutually just sort of broke up, but I still loved it. I got into it. I was like a little audio geek. I wanted to learn more. I was like looking up all the things online, pulling up YouTube left and right. And I was kind of telling my husband this, and he's like, you know what? Why don't you start your own show? You love to talk. Why don't you just put a mic in front of it and legitimize it and just like blah to the world? And you love to meet people. So why don't you? I'm like, okay. So January of 2020, I kicked off my show and I named it Have a Seat, because when I invite people into our home, I'm all with one of the first things out of my mouth is, have a seat, make yourself comfortable, you know? And so he's like, I think you should just name it Have a Seat, because that's kind of your thing. And that's how it happened.
Oh, that's gorgeous. I love that.
Yeah.
I also want to know how you managed to get everything done in a week that you were doing. Tell me.
I'm telling you, it is hard. It's hard. Having a, as you know, having a podcast is no joke. I mean, it's not just like grab a phone and have a conversation, hit record, and then bye. No, there's so much. So I am a G Suiter. I love the Google workspace. I am like full on. So I utilize Google Calendar to keep me organized. So I block off like in a week, I have a day for this, a day for that, a day for this, and a day for that. And then weekends are usually all my social media stuff is done on the weekends because I can like focus, I can play. If I get interrupted, like in Canva, building a fun little graphic, that's okay. I usually though do edit show edits like kind of during the week. After I get home from work, hubby is busy, so I know he won't really need anything. So I can kind of scroll away for like that hour, hour and a half it takes to kind of like edit shows and get them fun. So I just, I have to like, I don't know what's that called, compartmentalize and really break down and focus. Today is social media. Today is editing. Today is engagement. Today, you know, so today is recording.
It is.
Yeah.
And I wonder, did you... Were you nervous when you started the podcast? Did you think, how am I, is anyone, I thought, is anyone going to come on this show?
Totally. I'm like, who am I? Like, nobody knows Deborah Coleman. I'm like, hi, I'm Deborah. Would you like to come on my show? You know, no. That's why I started with like my inner circle, you know, like my mom, my sister, my neighbor, like they were my first guests. At least with your show, you have a niche somewhat. You're focusing on a profession, on an industry, so to speak. So at least you kind of had like, okay, at least I know I can kind of market to these people. Mm-hmm. I was like, women in the workplace, what, I don't care, you know, whatever you are. So that kind of made it more difficult for myself, but I didn't want to niche down on purpose. Truth be told, to be totally candid, there are so many amazing podcasts out there that speak to the EA profession. I didn't want to compete with y'all. And I am not as big of a name as some of you. So I really thought that would be a tough ask. And so I thought, let's go broader. And I think I was also at that stage in my career where I was curious about what I wanted to do, if I even wanted to stay in EA. So I thought having conversations with other women about, well, what is it that you do? And what brought you to being a police officer? What brought you to being a military wife? How did you, you know, I think that kind of helped me also in a therapeutic way. But yes, to answer your question, sorry, I was incredibly nervous. I stared at that red record button for like an hour. I'm like, here I go. No, no, no. Okay, I'm going to do it. No, no, no. Okay, woo-hoo, drink some water. Shush, I'm recording. You know, all this like squirrel moments, anything to prevent me from hitting record. And when I finally did, I'm such a chatterbox. It just like, do-do-do. Now it became, don't forget to hit stop. You need to stop talking, you know? So, but that was, yeah. But my first guest, yes, I was incredibly nervous. It wasn't like my early shows. I don't feel I was as conversational. I was very like, okay, my next question is, and then my next question, you know, I was just so nervous about like being respectful of their time, being respectful of the knowledge they were bringing, making sure I was acknowledging them. And so, yeah, but I think as you probably would agree, each show you do, you just get more and more comfortable and you start to find your way. And it just gets easier.
I know, you're so fun. And if you come up, you never come across as nervous ever.
Oh, right. Well, but you've had experience presenting, like you just said, at the PA Way, right? And you've had a lot more experience in front of people in like live, you know, that I can't speak to.
We did the PA show. It was really fun.
PA show. Sorry. Okay. PA Way is Skevy's organization.
That's
sorry.
I didn't get you. No, don't worry. It was fun. It was really fun. I definitely felt a little bit nervous, especially when they put my microphone on. I won't lie. I was like, why do I need a microphone? There won't be that many people. So I understand, but I think the great thing is though, is that if you're presenting, then you kind of don't have to, there's no expectation. If you're asking the question, it's not like you're having to answer it. There's something quite freeing about that, I find. Okay. I have to ask good questions, but at least I don't have to answer all of them as well.
That's true. Good point. Exactly.
Thank you. I think when I see you as a very confident, and I suppose this is a trick about confidence, isn't it? Is that we can perceive other people as feeling really confident and being very relaxed about the things that they've got to do. I know that most of the time we're all feeling pretty much like we don't really know what's happening or what we're doing. And that can be a real trick, can't it? About all the situations that we find ourselves in. Everyone else looks like they've got it all sorted. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Why do they look like that?
I know. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's funny because I can be confidence for someone else. Like if you were to come and tell me, Deb, I'm not feeling, I got you. Like I'm good at building others up and helping lift their confidence up. But then when I try to flip the switch on me, it's harder. It's a harder lift to do that. I think we're our own worst critics. And every once in a while we spoke to resumes, in our last recording, every once in a while I have done this. I will pull up my resume and I will remind myself, look at all that you've done. Look who all you've supported. Look what all you have done in your career. You got this. Like, don't worry. And I think in our roles, in our work life, especially now, a lot of us were asked to pivot immediately. In 2020, I was in person Friday and I was remote on Monday. And it was like, on top of that, you still need to be this like rock star admin professional. Like you still need to bring it. And it was like, I don't know. I do not know what I'm doing. When we're so used to being the ones to provide those answers. Now we also had questions but we still had to. So I think for me, my confidence was rocked a bit. I was like, oh gosh, I got to operate in this remote environment, but that's what we do. That's why we're good. We pivoted. We were able to do it. But I think that knocked some of us down a little bit. Okay. Now all meetings are virtual. Now events are virtual. Now I need you to take notes and be engaged and communicate with me as your leader, as your executive, like handle my calendar, in a remote environment. So I think for some of us, we were like, ah, crap. Do I know as much as I thought I did? You know, yeah. I don't know, you know? So yeah, I think it's hard. It's hard to put on that face and say, I got this when you really don't. And that's another thing I kind of want to speak to. I don't know if I buy into fake it till you make it.
No, me neither.
Right. I think it's healthier to say, look, I don't have it. But I'm going to find out. But I just want to be totally transparent with you. No, I don't know how to do that, but I'm going to figure it out. And then I'm going to know how to do it. But I don't want to like say, oh, I got this. And then run in the bathroom crying because I really don't have this, you know?
That is a recipe for disaster. I hate that phrase. Right. And I think, you know, also you can't trick yourself to be like, well, I know how to do it when you don't. You're like, your brain's going, no, you don't. You have no idea. What are you talking about? But brilliantly, YouTube has all the answers. So it doesn't matter if you don't know because you can just YouTube it.
Right.
That's what I've spent the last year and a half doing. I don't know about you. How do I do this?
I'm like, are you kidding? Oh, my God. Totally. One of my first things I had to do when we transitioned offline is to help conduct a company-wide town hall remotely.
Oh.
So I'm like, I pulled up the, you know, we use WebEx. So I'm like, how do you do an event? You have to invite the entire company. How do I get all the panelists up? So it was like, talk about confidence, like up at 3 a.m., white knuckling it. Like, how do I do this? But yeah, you just dig in your heels and you just figure it out. And now looking back, I'm like, look at me. I did it. But in the moment, you are just like this Charlie Brown. I don't have it. I'm a total loser. I don't know what I'm doing. Everyone's going to know. Imposter syndrome has kicked in like 1,000-fold. And it's just, it's hard because I think we set ourselves up for that, especially in our roles when we are like, I got this. I'm the one. And it's hard for us to admit, you know what? I'm not the one this time. I actually need help.
Do you think that's an expectation that assistants have placed on themselves? I know you can't speak for all assistants, so I'm not expecting you to. In your experience, is it an expectation that you assume you should have about yourself? Or do you think it's other people's behavior that dictates that expectation?
Good question. It's sort of to me like what came first, the egg or the chicken? Because when we are in our roles, we exude like, I got this. I am confident. I am the I am it. I am your girl. I got it. Or guy, you know, I am the professional. Come to me. So we sell that and then it's bought and people buy into it. And now you are the one, and now you've set yourself up for being in that position. So I think it's a little bit of both. It's what we put out there. It's what we advertise and sell, and then it's bought and purchased. And now we've got people buy-in and we're like, oh crap, I guess I really am though. I got to be the one now. And so now the expectation is there. So, but it's not really a bad thing. Cause I mean, we do believe we have, I mean, we are good at what we do. And I mean, most of us, right. And so it's not like we're lying, but I think we get like, what's that say? Don't overpromise, underpromise, and then deliver, you know?
So I think sometimes, yeah, for
yeah,
sure. Right.
Some of us get stuck in that. Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a really good one to remember. I think that it's always having that understanding of ourselves that we don't have to be perfect in that, in any scenario, that it's okay, like you said, to say, I don't know, but I'll find out, don't worry. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how much you think that assistants or executive assistants' confidence has been knocked in the last year because of the different shifting of expectations. I know some have found that their roles have changed so much that they don't really understand any of the edges of where they are anymore or what they're supposed to do or what's even expected of them. That can feel really uncertain. And also that maybe they don't like the way that they've had to work in the last year. Maybe it feels like it's moving in the direction that they don't want it to. They maybe want it to stay the same. Or they love it so much they'd rather just hurry up. But I think people are, there's definitely that sort of uncertainty around people's careers and their feeling about their jobs. I don't want to put you on the spot and ask you directly about your job. Let's talk about the around that. I don't mean that like in a negative way. I just mean that, you know.
Oh, no.
How do you feel that from your conversations, do you think people are responding to it?
I think you summed it up beautifully. There are so many conversations now about just all those points. There are some that can't wait to get back to face-to-face because that's what they're comfortable in. That's their zone. And they want to get back there. That's their comfort area. There's others that have transitioned and who are like, oh my God, this is so much better. I'm actually getting things done. I'm okay. This is all right. And then there's, of course, the hybrids. I think I am of the camp personally, and I don't mind talking about my experience, that when I transitioned and 3 months in, I was like, this is awesome. I was so much more productive. I was on it. I was actually, in a weird way, more communicative with my team. I felt like I was, it was just the here. I think because for me, in my circumstance, there were less drive-bys, meaning there were less like, hey, can I pull you out for a sec? Can you join me? This room is unlocked. Somebody exploded their lunch in the microwave. Can you go click? I mean, like all that kind of minutia was gone. And so all I had to do was focus on the work being done or the initiatives being developed or the projects being created. And it was great. It was all that external for me. I think my introvert side really came out. I didn't know about it. I didn't know she was in there, but she was there and I liked it. And the different groups I belong to, both on Facebook and LinkedIn, some of the chatter I see in some of the posts, I think others are experiencing similar things. And I think some of the venting sessions and more concerning posts I'm seeing, like help guys, SOS, this is happening, I'm frustrated, this, I think I have no initials after my last name, I am not a therapist by any means, but there is an underlining theme. If you dissect what they're actually like complaining or expressing, it speaks to confidence. You know, oh, my executive keeps moving my one-on-ones. I can't get any time with him or her. When I do sit down with them, we're not talking about what I want. We're talking about da-da-da-da. And I think in 2018 and 19, would this have been an issue? Or is it an issue now because your one-on-ones are now in a virtual environment and they're easily pushed aside instead of you standing in the doorway, like, you ready for our one-on-one now? It's harder to push you away. But when it's in a virtual, it's easy to say, hey, Deb, move our one-on-one to next Wednesday. I don't have time right now. And I think for some assistants, that's like, wait a minute, you don't have time for me. you always made time for me before, or we could always. So I think some are finding that and it's knocking them down. It's like, well, gosh, I'm second now. I'm not first anymore. Maybe they don't care. Maybe I'm not as important anymore. Maybe I'm not valuable. I think it just, it starts to snowball. But there are others, to be fair, to flip the switch, there's always two sides to every coin. There are others that are rocking it. They're like, I got this. I text my executive. We're on sync. We are one-on-ones. We video chat like that. We're getting so much done. Both of us are excited. And let's face it, we can all admit in the before times, we were somewhat hybrid already, because when our executives weren't in the office, which probably happened a lot, we were working remotely. We were chatting with them as they were taking off on their plane, as they landed, as they were checking into that hotel. We were still communicating as they were in the meeting. When's my next meeting? How do I get there? Shoot, pin me the directions. I mean, we were already operating in that environment. So it really, like, technically probably wasn't too much of an ask, but for many, that was like one-offs, or that was like circumstances. That was when they were traveling. That was when they were out of the office. Now it's, for many, it's like 24/7, and we're finding it hard to bob and weave, which is in effect, I think, affecting our confidence level. That's just my personal take.
Yeah. I think that's so insightful.
Yeah.
The anyway. Inability to kind of grab someone's attention for the things that you need. It's also much more formal sending an email saying, please, can we do this? Then, hey, can I get 10 minutes for my one-to-one or half an hour, whatever it is? That feels like more kind of concrete if you're actually sending that message. But
right.
I know that I have no personal experience of confidence in the way that assistants are talking about their roles. I can only liken it that, you know, I have clients, I work for those people, we're in customer kind of based roles where we're looking after people and their expectations. We're managing expectations, we're managing a lot of processes, we're trying to work and collaborate with somebody. So there's some similarities in that. This confidence piece is something that I hear a lot about, but I just don't have the firsthand experience of what that feels like. And I try to relate it to something that in my line of work that I would do, but I think it's such a different and wildly different relationship that I can't. I have really tried to see it. But I think that confidence to me, as just as an individual, is an incredibly elusive thing. One minute I have it, the next minute I don't. One minute I feel totally ready to do this, the next minute I'm like, oh, will I ever do things that I think I should do ever again? You know, like,
right.
I don't know if anyone's consistently confident. Do you think they are?
Agreed. No, I totally agree with you. 100%. It is so fluid. And it could be moment to moment or day to day, week to week, roll to roll.
Yeah.
Even. Yep. Totally agree with you. No. And if you are that person, that unicorn who is just like, I'm confident all the time, every day, then first of all, share that with us, because I would love to buy a teaspoon of what you're selling. And second of all, don't be afraid to ask for help when you need it, because there are those moments where you do like fall, and it's okay. It's okay to say, I don't have this, guys. Can I get some help? Because that actually shows strength.
It does. You're right. It really does. And who do you lean on when you need that kind of support? Who's your go-to?
That's right. That's right. And to flip that, as I said, two sides every coin, to the ones who are like the pig pens, like constantly under a dark cloud, like I am just constantly, I'm not happy. I can't do anything right. You got this. Surround yourself with those who will, if you need to, who will give you that leg up and trust yourself. You do have this. Don't buy into that. You've got to come out on the other side of it. Even if you need some help seeing that, don't do yourself a disservice and live under that cloud. You are better than that. You really are.
How do you take steps if you don't feel confident in a situation to either ask for something you need or be really verbal about something that's bothering you or something you'd like to improve? How do you think people can take the steps to get to that point to actually get the outcome that they want?
Great question. You know, there are so, it is very subjective to who you are. For the extroverts out there, they may turn to external sources, to people. Look, I need to hop on a video call. Do you have 10 seconds? I just need a little pick me up, and you are my cheerleader in my life and my orbit. Can I just steal you for like a few minutes? That's probably more my jam. I am a chatter and I am like a social butterfly. So I'd rather like get that vibe from another human, but there are others who maybe it's a podcast or maybe it's an article, or maybe it's a quick DM, or that it's their own self. Like maybe, as I said, pull up your resume, remind yourself of how great you are, or pull up that kudo, pull up that last eval where your boss was like, exceeds expectations, totally pulled this rabbit out of her hat. She was an ace. Maybe you just need to be reminded. Or maybe it has nothing to do with your job and you just need to find your happy place. Go with your family, friends, fur babies, whatever it looks like for you, and recenter. Because I think that much like a pinball machine, for those of us who know what that is, you're off center. And maybe you just need to bring yourself back to center. My worst fear is that someone stays off center and lives in that. Mm-hmm. That's not healthy. And I would not wish that for anybody.
No.
But definitely reach out. Yeah. If you can't pull it within yourself, and for many of us, it's tough to do, then I my one wish is just find the external somewhere for that support.
It's such a good point. Once you get off kilter, it can be hard to get back on without someone helping you out a bit because of that sensation of it becomes more familiar to feel like that than it does to actually kind of go back. I love that. I like podcasts too. I wonder why we enjoy listening to them. But but other people's stories to me really help me with my confidence. Hearing about other people's situations and difficulties. And also I imagine, and this is what I've heard, two things. One is that in the assistant community, you have so many people who have very similar shared experiences that you can lean on if you need to. And I don't know, because I'm not in those Facebook groups because I'm not an assistant, but I know that they exist and that is a very supportive environment sometimes, which is a huge deal to have that. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that we all underestimate our capabilities. And maybe that's the why, you know, have feeling confident is such an elusive thing.
Totally agree with you. That's right. We are the root. It has to start with us. And I think we are the first ones to say exactly what you just said. We question our abilities. We question our competencies. And somehow it has to start with us for sure. I totally agree with you on that.
So hard. Absolutely.
It is, especially in these days when things are so topsy-turvy.
Yeah, and I think it's such an ongoing process. But if you look at what, you know, what people have achieved in such a short period of time.
That's right.
I know that one assistant that I know keeps a file of all the kind of compliments and testimonials and praise and stuff, which I think is a great thing to do. Take a look at it and see what other people say about your work, even if you're doubting yourself.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you. And I'll piggyback on that by saying, don't be afraid to give praise and credit also to a fellow EA, to a fellow, because we all have them in our organizations, right? If someone did a good job, please don't feel afraid to credit them either in a meeting or just separately. Like, hey, Hen, I really like how you handled that. Mm-hmm. Good job.
Thanks.
Just something simple like that. Yeah, it can make someone's week. Absolutely.
I'm going to keep that recording.
So
that's so nice. I'm going to actually keep that so I can use it. That's so gorgeous. Ah! Now, I've got to ask you, how do you think that the roles changed since the pandemic as to where we are now? How do you feel that it's evolved? Because I have to ask everyone, because I am conscious that I do not want to get caught in my own perception of how it's changed and developed when other people have such varying experiences. What's your experience?
Just at like the 30,000 foot level, because as you said, we're being careful not to come off as, you know, this is what it is for everybody. But at the higher level, I think that overall, administrative support professionals are being asked to wear many hats because maybe again, because we're operating in two different worlds, we're operating in a hybrid, a virtual and an in-person. And I don't care what side of the camp you're on. We are living in a hybrid world now. Everything has either a face-to-face or a virtual component. I don't care if you transition back to the office fully. There are some team members who haven't or who are hybrid. So we're asked to operate in two different worlds now, to be bilingual, so to speak. But also, unfortunately, due to some layoffs or furloughs, I think many of us are also asked to take on different, entirely different hats, you know, where maybe you're a bit more HR heavy now, maybe you're a bit more payroll heavy now, maybe you're a bit more operations. So there's a bit more to the role. I've also seen that in job descriptions. I still kind of poke around out there and look. It's not the traditional how it used to look maybe pre-2020. There's a bit more sometimes thrown in, a little bit. Little extra ingredients thrown into that cake.
They love doing that. Absolutely. Yeah. They love doing that. But I mean, you've interviewed so many women for your podcast, and I imagine my impression is that you will have spoken about confidence and how to look after yourself a lot in the conversations, whether it was intentional or not, is something that we tend to kind of touch on, I think, in our conversations. There's something that's quite similar, I think, about our kind of style. What's the kind of common thread, do you think, between the people that you've interviewed?
Many of my guests are entrepreneurs and solopreneurs, or people who have pivoted. They were this way, now they're this way. They worked for the man, and now they're doing it themselves. Women, you know, rocking it for themselves. And I think a lot of their confidence level has to do with, can I do it on my own? And will I get the support of those around me as I build my business or amp up my side hustle? Or, you know, because as I say a lot in my shows, as I ask my guests, how important is buy-in from those in your orbit to what you're doing? Because I think sometimes unintentionally, and you may have experienced this, Hen, as you built your business, are those that we are closest to us may hurt us and not realize it. Especially those who are just starting out, who are getting their, what do you mean you're quitting your job? You're going to do what now? Or what makes you think you're an expert in that? Or how are you going to pay the bill? You know, and they may be coming from a place of just genuine curiosity, and they're just caring, like they want to make sure you're going to be okay. But every time those questions are asked, I think it takes a little bit of a hit. And as women, especially, if I was a Chad, would you be saying this to me? Mm. Or would you be like, go for it, Chad, you got this. You could totally run your own company. But when it comes to women, it's like, who's going to feed the kids? Who's going to pay the bills? Who's going to do my laundry? Who's going to pick up the kids from school? Who's going to pick up the kids from the ER when they break their arm? Who's going to... You know, so I think as women, as I've noticed on my show, it's like, yeah, start your own business. However, there's an asterisk. Mm. Whereas men, it's like, go do your thing, man. You got this, with no asterisk. Yeah, so,
and I think also though that I think that so many of the people that I interview on the podcast are incredibly entrepreneurial and have not recognized that part of who they are. In what they're doing and how they're showing up in the world. I mean, I think that is very common actually in a lot of people who really excel in a support role, have such entrepreneurial capabilities.
Totally.
And that's frustrating, perhaps it's not always recognized.
Good point. Absolutely. Because that's one thing that a lot of these entrepreneurial women say. They're creatives, right? Oh, I'm going to start my own business because I'm a creative. But they all say, so far, they say they struggle with the business side. It's the business side that trips me up, you know, the operation. So yeah. If you are coming from that already as a strength, gosh, the creative is like the cherry on the cake. Yeah. You can totally, how many times do we pay bills and do expenses and all that kind of stuff? Man, if we attribute that to our own business, we got this.
Exactly.
You just have to come up with what you're going to sell.
Yeah.
What's your business? What's your service? But yeah, no, good point.
There's
definitely
a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised if in a future trends, if we see a lot more EAs and AAs and PAs start to like, I wonder if I can become their own business owners.
I hope so. because I think that you're right that the operational side is so ingrained in them that it's such a small kind of move to the next stage. Mm-hmm. And actually, if you think about the access that you have to incredibly entrepreneurial people and understanding, you know, that's why when I was talking in a conversation in your podcast about, you know, recognizing just how capable you are in certain situations in your career and how you actually pitch yourself, think about who you're working with. You're working with the elite within the organization every single day. You have access to them every single day. And most people don't work with people at that level and get to see how they operate, what they do. So I'm interested in confidence in that kind of thing, because from a person just looking into that, I think, wow, amazing that you're doing that role. And yet there seems to be that kind of disconnect in a way.
Oh, total disconnect. Absolutely. Who else in the company has access, like you said, to the key players?
No one.
We do.
Yeah, no one.
Right. Yet we're the first ones to sit in the corner and to sit in the back of the room and to take that sort of shady behavior. Wait a minute. So you're right, but there's a disconnect. It's so hard for us to make that leap. A good point. Excellent. No, that's good. That's really,
really
good.
Interesting.
We need to work on that.
We'll work on it together.
We need to work on that.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for listening. Please do rate and review the podcast. It helps other assistants and people within the admin community find our podcast. And do share. If you felt that this episode brought you any value, then it would be lovely for you to share it on social, to spread the word about the Assistants Together podcast. We've reached 1,000 followers on Instagram, which is so fun this week. And I know that many, many, many more of you are listening out there. But if you don't follow us, you'll get updates and you're missing out. So go and say hi on Instagram if you're around. It's at Assistants Together. Have a great week.